You're listening to All to Play For, brought to you by Joe and Coral.
Welcome to All to Play For, brought to you by Joe and Coral, with me, Lindsay Hipgrave, and you, Joe Cole. Joe, how have you found the last couple of days? It's dragged a bit with no games, hasn't it?
It has, Lindsay. It's, but the excitement's building. Like, you know, this game on Tuesday night, I'm still trying to beg, steal and borrow some tickets. That going to
you
the
haven't got tickets yet, Joe?
No, I've still not got tickets. Like, so I'm doing anything. Like, listen, I might have to go old school, climb over the fence like I used to. But excitement's building. Nice little break from the football, and now with today's games are brilliant. Wales, Denmark, and the Italians, which I think are one of the favourites. It's going to be a good day of football. Put my feet up after this.
Definitely. I can't wait for it all to start. And we're delighted to be joined today by a former teammate of yours as well, a friend of the All to Play For podcast. You made 51 appearances for Wales in an international career spanning more than a decade. And of course, he was part of that heroic Wales squad from 2016. It's the one and only James Collins. Good to see you, James.
How are we doing, guys? You all right?
The ginger Pele, Lindsay. You forgot that one.
Exactly.
This man, Ron Loughton, from between probably 2004 to 2014, he was
still
the main man
it, Coley.
At Loughton. Yeah, I know.
James, I'm loving the shirt. You've had the cap with you as well. Where's it gone?
I see it. It is here.
Get it on, Ginge.
It's always close, this one. I must be honest. 50th cap. Nice little gold one, Coley.
It's lovely, mate. Yes, lovely. I mean,
it's nice.
I got a signed poster from the lads. Serious.
Really?
One of the only things I've got up on the wall in the upstairs and on the top floor, and most of it is the lads just abusing me, caning me.
Nice little touch that from them, to be fair. Nice. They set one to my mum and dad as well, so we've got one each.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. James, how have you been enjoying the tournament so far?
When Wales have been playing, I've been a little bit nervous, to be honest. I'd rather, as Coley would probably tell you, this is probably easier playing in these games than actually watching them. But just enjoying it all.
And apart from the Wales matches, which ones have stood out for you so far?
I think Coley's touching it. I think the Italians have been very impressive for me. I think they'd be tough to beat. France were my favourites before the tournament. So, now the business starts, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean? The real games.
Ginge, thinking about the French, do you think they're, like, you know, our train where they're just starting to get... I don't even think they've taken off yet. No. I still think they're exactly favourites. Well, why do you think they haven't, of all of them players, why do you think it hasn't clicked this early in the tournament?
Do you know what, Coach? I think the same about England, though, as well. Do you know, you'd rather get through and not playing your best and then build it, and then show your best form when it really matters. Do you know what I mean? These sort of games, last 16 quarterfinals. I just think... I just think they're building it. You know what I mean? If you can get through and not playing your best, I think it's a good thing. I think with England as well, they certainly haven't been at their best, but then you know what's to come. Do you know what I mean? They can turn up at any minute in the big games.
I must admit, sorry, Linda. I'm the same there. I prefer to be where France and England are simmering with a nice balance rather than being where Italy are, because you can come unstuck and the Italians as well are a young side, if you remember. I think that was one of the main reasons we all overlooked them at this tournament, because they haven't got them. There's no Maldinis, there's no Nestas, there's no Baresis, there's no Totti, Del Piero. The names ain't there, but it's the youthfulness, the energy, which we haven't seen from the Italian side. But what I would say is England and France are where I think there's a lot more.
You know
to
what?
Come
you know what it's like, Coley. Tournament football. They'll obviously the longer it goes on, the more the energy builds. Energy, and then anything can happen. We did it in 2006. Yeah. We did it in 2016. Everyone got behind us, and then it just sort of rolled, and then all of a sudden we're in the semi-final.
Yeah. And they've got those old heads in there, the Chiellinis and Bonucci's as well, just to sort of give it that bit of experience.
I get goose pimples watching those boys sing their national anthem. Honestly, it's incredible to see those two boys. Do you know what I mean? Heart on the line, how I used to play, and it's just watching them sing their national anthem. Honestly, it's incredible.
That's one of the good ones. I've had to mute the TV a few times for some of the anthems, though.
Exactly.
I know. We I'm the same. Watching the Italian boys sing the national anthem is proper. I think that's the best anthem. But see, what else was a good one though?
The Jamaican
national anthem. We played against them. That was a proper reggae track. I was enjoying that one.
You wasn't getting those naughty dance moves out, Cody, was you?
Yeah, a little bit of bogle.
I thought you were going to start singing for us again there, Joel.
Breaking out into a rap.
How did that
go down, Linz? Because there is a drunk version of me singing that song.
I haven't seen that one yet. So Terry's promised us that's going to come out before the tournament's out. So I'm looking forward to it. But I think people are quite impressed with your backing vocals.
Bit of rapping, that's it.
Got a bit, Cody, in there. You got a bit, mate.
What was that Welsh rapping band? Goldie Looking Chain, wasn't it?
Goldie Looking Chain. I went to school with those boys.
Did you?
Good lads, yeah. Go on.
I was going to say, I know you said France at the start of the tournament, that's who you're backing. Are you still backing them to win the whole thing, or have you changed your mind as you've seen the group games?
I think I'm still backing them. I think with the firepower they got, I think they can beat any team. I like the way they're going to play. They're going to be, if someone scores two against us, we're going to score three. That sort of attitude. I'm a Welshman, do you know what I mean? The longer it goes on, if we can win today, you know, anything can happen. I've got to support the boys.
Do you actually believe that this Welsh side can do better than the 2016 side?
I don't see any. Like today's going to be a tough game. Do you know what I mean? Denmark, they've sort of what they've gone through and all that, and the way they've been playing, it's a winnable game for us. But. I don't really want to get too excited just yet. Be one of those fans when I was playing, thinking, "Oh, we're going to go and win the tournament." We're not going to win the tournament, but we've got a real chance of getting at least to the semi final. I'd say.
So, Coral will give you odds of 20-1 if you fancy Belgium to win it, with Lukaku as the top scorer. He's on 3 at the moment. Ronaldo has got 5, and of course, they play each other. It's Portugal Belgium on Sunday, which is going to be a cracker.
Do you know what the best news is about that, Linz?
Go on.
Both of them are in my dream team. I'm having it right off. The two big men, like Ginger will tell you, you always got to have a big number 9, you know, but like them two are proper goal scorers. I don't think Portugal, I've seen enough holes in their team in the tournament where I think they could be got at, but I think Belgium look, I think this group's the last throw of the dice for them, like the Elders and the Vertonghens and all that. So, That's a real juicy game. That
who's your favourite to it, Coley?
Well, apart from England,
apart from England, obviously,
the French, and the one that surprised me the most, Ginge, is the Dutch. I wasn't a big fan of De Ligt. I thought I couldn't get it as a centre half. You'll be able to tell me better, but I watched him play the other day. And for someone so young, he does seem quite mature. So he give them a little bit of balance in there. I've always loved De Jong in the midfield. And obviously, you've got Depay, you can make things happen. So I think if you would have put Van Dijk in that team, then they would have gone very, dangerous. Very close. But I think they're stepping up. So I've been impressed with the Dutch as well.
He's had a lot of stick to ball as well, building up to it as well. So I think he's been exonerated a little bit, maybe.
Well, De Boer, he had a nightmare, didn't he, when he was over in England and going to Crystal Palace. I mean, I've heard good things about his methods and what he's training, but I think he went into a dressing room at Crystal Palace where I think he had a lot of senior players that were used to playing a certain type of football.
Yeah.
And he's coming in trying to do that and try to change it straight away. And it just didn't work for him. But he's clearly got some talent as a manager because no one had them down as doing anything at this tournament, and they've looked as good as anyone in how they move the ball between the lines and effective in both ends of the pitch. So they'll be decent.
And James, we're recording this podcast Saturday morning, so we've got no idea what the Wales result is, but of course it's Denmark in Amsterdam later on today. How are you feeling about it all? What do you think is going to happen?
I can only see a Wales win. I think if our big players turn up, Certainly the way Aaron Ramsey played in the last game, you know, he's getting his sort of full fitness back. If Gareth Bale turns up, with same old story. Do you know what I mean? We're talking about these two big players for Wales, but I honestly believe if those two boys turn up, we can beat anyone. And I know the boys personally, and they'll be ready to perform, ready to play against a difficult opponent in Denmark. But again, that the boys are fully thinking they can go and win.
Ginge, big Rob Page. I mean, yeah. What's he like? How's he stepped in, you know, with Ryan Giggs' situation and him coming in as number two? How's that work? What's he like as a character?
I played with Pagey, Coley. Yeah. I played with him at Cardiff. I played with him at Wales. Not one that would have struck me straight away as gonna go on and be a manager. I think he's just I don't want to say old school. He's just a solid man. Do you know? Does that make sense? Mm. Do you know what I mean? He knows what he wants. I think it just comes across as a guy that would you know guess his team play in a certain way. And defensively strong. I know for a fact he's been working a lot on defending. If you look at the last couple of, you know, certainly leading up to the tournament, the results for Wales has always been 1-0, 1-0. Do you know what I mean? I think if this Wales team can keep a solid base, is what he's working on. Like I said, like I've mentioned, the boys that we've got going forward, we're always going to score goals.
Yeah, he deserves a lot of credit, don't he?
He does, mate. For
what he's coming in a difficult situation.
Yeah,
and he's just there's been seamless, hasn't it? What he's done,
but good players, good lads, Coley as well. Do you know what I mean? It's, you know what it's like as a player. If a new manager comes in, you obviously want to impress him. Like you say, difficult circumstances, but just a good group of lads, all pulling the same diet, all want to do well. Or you know, you could put me mammy in as manager. Do you know what I mean? You get these boys, you get these boys in to play for your country. There's that sort of desire to do well. And I'm not saying it's an easy job by any situation, but I mean, the love and the passion of the boys that come in to play for Wales now is sort of runs itself, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
They'll give it everything.
Yeah.
Gareth Bale at 14-1 to score from outside the box against Denmark. You need him to get a goal though, James, don't you? He's obviously had those two assists in that brilliant performance against Turkey, but not got off the mark yet.
No, he's not. But Gaz does... I know he's not scored goals, but his whole presence is enough for Wales. Do you know what I mean? Coley's played with big players, but when Gaz turns up and plays for Wales, it's a different thing. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, he's played for the arguably the biggest club in the world. So the players want to impress him. Do you know what I mean? I certainly felt that when I was playing with Gaz. You sort of want to you don't want to let him down. You don't want to let Gareth Bale down, sort of thing. So I know he hasn't scored goals, but what he does off the pitch in the dressing room is massive.
You know, coming into this tournament and all the rumours about his career and where he's going to go, I suppose what first question is, do you think it's fair to say he's probably the most successful British export as a footballer?
100%.
And I think that, it's my opinion.
Macca might argue
with me. But, and also my second one is, like, can you see him just being one of them players that plays into his late 30s, or can you see him sort of walking off into the sunset? Because does he love the game, Ginge? I suppose that's what I'm asking him.
Mm. Yeah, he loves it, Coley. I'm not speaking on Gareth's behalf or anything he's ever said to me, but I don't think he gets enough recognition, Coley.
No, I 100% agree.
The boys won four Champions Leagues. Do you know what I mean? What for me and what he's done for my career and playing for Wales, I don't think he gets enough. The boy is an absolute genius, Coley. He loves the game. Yeah. And like I said, I don't think he gets enough recognition for what he does.
Why do you think that is, done. James, though? Because there is this sort of perception, that he doesn't love the game. He loves golf more.
Yeah, that's what people talk about. Do you know what I mean? That's the thing. No one knows Gareth Bale. He's quite his own man. He's got his five friends back in Cardiff. When he's not playing football, he goes back to Cardiff and spends time with them. I can tell you now, he loves football. He loves everything about it. Do you know what I mean? And if I can only say, if I was Gareth, I would feel a little bit, I don't want to say let down, but I mean, he's done all these things like Champions Leagues, what he's done for Wales, he don't really get mentioned in the higher echelons of footballers. Do you know what I mean? And it's certainly me. I'd be
strange.
Well, yeah, it's a weird one for me. And I I don't know why it is, but
do you remember the goal he scored against us? Do you remember against
yeah.
West Ham?
I remember flying it over my head. Remember that?
Oh, like it's not many minute. Times. Yeah, when you talk about geniuses, it's not many times on a football pitch you're sort of you're playing against someone and you just feel the danger any free time they pick up the ball. And he scored this goal against us, Linz, where I think it was Gary O'Neill.
Yeah, he should have got tighter though, Coley.
Yeah, he should have got tighter. He got ragdolled, both of them ragdolled each other to the floor, and Gareth just bounced up like a bouncy ball and just put his shot into the top corner to make it 3-2. And you're like,
last minute
of the game, you're like, yeah, that's a genius. Yeah, I mean, I'm a massive fan. I love him. I think
in the Champions League final doesn't get talked about enough. It was in the final.
Linz, that's what I had an interview before the Champions League final. Do you know what I mean? The Champions, you should show the best goals. Gazi's goal, overhead kick against Liverpool, wasn't showed anywhere. Didn't see anything of it.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's mad, Coley. Honestly, it's knowing Gaz, he don't want the act, but it'd be nice to show a bit of appreciation for what he's actually done. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. What is he like behind the scenes then? Is he really humble? Because obviously you're in the Wales squad. He's a total superstar. Got these four Champions League. What's he like behind closed doors?
He is the nicest fella you'll ever meet. Honestly, it's no ears or graces. Just for what he's done in the game. Do you know what I mean? It's easy to think that he, you know, could get a big head or whatever. He's just a solid fella. Do you know what I mean? He loves doing what he's doing. Loves playing the game. Like I said, he's got his five mates back in Cardiff. He's got his family back in Cardiff, and he's just a normal fella off the pitch. That's probably the best thing I could say about him.
Mm. Yeah, we love Gareth Bale.
Why do you not think he's got any? He doesn't get the recognition he's deserved.
Well, I think
he's deserved.
Yeah. Two things change. I think. And I've been quite open about this. I think Real Madrid as a club is, I think they don't show enough class. You know, yeah. We spoke to people who've played with them. And it's so much intense pressure. And for one reason or another, Gareth has upset the fans. And I think no amount of overhead kick goals in the Champions League final can change their mind. So I think a lot of it comes from Real Madrid. You know, and also I think he's gone into the club in an era when Ronaldo was the number one and everyone else was playing second fiddle. And although his second fiddle to Ronaldo was immense, his contribution, I think Ronaldo grabbed the limelight. So I think a lot of it comes from that. And I just think Gareth, like you said, he's a humble guy. I think he doesn't, like Paul Scholes to a certain degree, don't push himself up into the limelight. You know, he's not one for doing the media, lets his football do the talking. And he's just happy just cracking away doing that. So I think time, history will be kind to Gareth. I think when he's gone, 3, 4, 5 years down the line, his legend will grow, particularly in Wales. And he's an absolute god of a footballer for me. He's one of the best I've seen on a football pitch in the Premier League, for sure. And yeah, but he's got to talk it up. As much as I'm going to be behind Wales today, I really want Wales to win. I think it's a tough one, Ginge. I watched the Danes, and like you said earlier on, I think having that, what they've gone through and come through that fire, you know, forged in the fire, I think they have got a lot of quality as well. I think they need to find a way. I like the back three, the Denmark with that they've been playing, and Christensen, I think, been fantastic. He's gone on levels as well since the Champions League final. So I think it's a tough one, but I'll be supporting Wales today, no doubt.
Good man, Coley. Good man, of course.
Well, you can back Wales to win 1-0 with Coral, with Aaron Ramsey, the first goal scorer, at odds of 70-1, and Denmark 13-2 to beat Wales at 2-0.
Hold on, Linz, is that 70-1, Aaron Ramsey, the first goal, and 1-0?
Wales to win 1-0 and Ramsey to be the first goal scorer. Odds of 70-1.
That is juicy.
I'll have 10 grand on that.
No, guys, we know when you go to major tournaments, there's always a lot of waiting around between games and things like that. And we saw the news this week that the England squad have had a private concert from Ed Sheeran, apparently arranged by Harry Kane. I was just wondering how you spent your downtime, James, at Euro 2016.
Linz, I must say, I saw the same interviews. I was very jealous. We had none of that, I don't think, Coley, when we was leading up to games. But yeah, just normal. I think just chilling in the hotel, a bit of table tennis. There was no singers about to come in and telling a lie. We had the Stereophonics come in once to the Wales squad.
How could you forget that?
It was a special moment. But who else was there as well that used to come in? Manic Street Preachers come in once and sung us a few songs.
Oh, sounds like the best festival ever.
Probably it was the best time ever.
Private concerts, Joe, for the England squad?
No. I told you, we went TGI Fridays once in Japan. That was pretty cool. But and again, going back into what I think the problem is with England, we've been too sort of, we look over at the Welsh, and now that they was able to create that club atmosphere, we was never able to do that in my time. These boys have got it closer to that.
I truly believe that the England squad have done that since they saw us in 2016. It seems just seems that there is a different atmosphere around the place. The England players in the England camp are more approachable now than they've ever been. It was always a bit, but from the outside, it always seemed a bit standoffish. Hang on, it's England sort of thing. But now they're more, like you say, as a club. That's how
and
it seems,
I think,
you know what I mean?
It stems from the manager, that, doesn't it? You've got to give Gareth credit for that.
100%.
You do. He's been pushing it. You have to remember, these lads, so for sort of our era, I look back at it, and when the mass media started to happen, and like we're getting wheeled off to do press conferences, and there was like, I was intense doing press conferences, big, huge marquees, and there's like hundreds and hundreds of journalists. And you're like, it was a horrible experience, because you don't want to do it. And we didn't know the value of the brand media, nothing like that. So everything was always with a shield up, you know, and then the media like that. The players don't like it. And it was very separate. And then it was already sort of, you know, from going right the way back to Euro 96, when we were talking about the lads, when they went out and had a drink and then they got chastised for it, you know. So if we was going out for a tournament, and we've got a few days off home and we went out for a drink, you know, we was getting followed with paparazzi and all that. And, you know, even if it was just a couple of glasses of wine with your family.
That should be all part. That's what, you know, anything to get the best out of your play. Do you know what I mean? The press shouldn't jump on boys going for a night out, because judge me on a Saturday.
Exactly.
Do what I do on a Saturday. Don't judge me on what I do to get me ready for the Saturday, if that makes sense.
And Ginge, we've played with players. Some players that live like monks and they need to do that. They need to be right on it. And other players who operate, you know, they drink things. They eat the wrong
need
things.
Need to let their hair down.
But they, like, it's all about Saturday. When I become a manager
you put your life on them on a Saturday, Coley.
Like, Ginge, it's no secret, you know, you lived a good life, you did it on a Saturday, you turned up on a Saturday and done. So if I was managing you in your prime, you know, I'd be encouraging you.
Martin O'Neill done it to me and Richard Dunn for 3 years. He used to say to us, boys, I don't care what you're doing in the week. As long as you turn up for me on a Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock, you can do what you want.
Yeah, 100%.
And being a professional yourself, you sort of control yourself in a way to know that, obviously, me and Danny probably got away with a little bit more than normal players. But I mean, you don't want to let the managers down. If he's putting that trust in you to say, right, 3 o'clock Saturday, you wouldn't overstep the line or do you know what I mean? You'd be ready for that, because you want to do it again the week after.
Yeah.
So you make sure you're ready to go on a Saturday afternoon. And that's pretty much how my whole career was pretty much like that.
And again, going away with tournaments, Lynn, talking about the difference, like the Capello, I think we touched on it, but the Capello one, when it was like a boot camp, it was like
it's too much.
I woke up, I'm going down, I'm getting my body fat percentage taken every morning, weighing myself, am I hydrated, you know, the no butter on the toast. And I mean, it's all little things, but when it's relentless for 6 weeks and the intensity of training's high and players are, emotions are a bit tense, because you have to remember you've got a squad of 23 and 11 of them are happy they're playing, 3 of them are okay, come on. The rest of them are like a little bit, can be a little bit angry. So And it was just no, you know, was only allowed to play 9 holes of golf once a week.
Steven Gerrard said it was like a 5-star prison.
Yes, no, it was. And it didn't work.
See, that's the difference, Cody. You're talking about your experience in the tournament as like that hard work. My experience in 2016 was nothing. And I didn't play. I played one game.
Yeah.
But everything about it, probably coming from Coleman and Cookie and the squad we had, yeah, nothing but unbelievable memories. And I wasn't playing. Do you know what I mean? It should be about the football. And
yeah,
obviously I wasn't too happy that I wasn't playing. But the whole thing, mate, honestly, it was just nothing but unbelievable memories.
Yeah, I've been to tournaments where I've played every minute. I've been tournaments where I've not played, and been tournaments where I've been the person to come on and change the game. So I've experienced all aspects all of it, the tournament. Yeah. So I know how that player's going to feel, how that player's going to feel. We got it wrong so many times. It's all in the past now. And the way I marry it up with myself now, why I'm such a big supporter of this England squad, because I feel like all of the mistakes of the past that we've made, it's all building up for this next generation that you know, so to go and do something, to win something, you know. So when they do it, I'll feel part of it some way.
They've got an F1 simulator, a juice and smoothie bar, and hot pod yoga now.
Oh, I mean, that's gone up levels, mate. We had a pool table, table tennis, and a few computer games.
There's no cigarette machine.
Because of what you've said about that sort of culture that Southgate's creating, the reports are now coming out saying he's going to be offered a new contract until Euro 2024, regardless of how England do in this tournament. What do you think of that? I just sort of saw it and thought, that's great, but I wish you hadn't said it now, because it just makes me think we're going to lose.
Yeah. It is a strange time to release that. I like when I looked at the England team, I see balance, I see continuity. And I had great tickets for the Czech Republic game. I sat right behind the bench so I could see Gareth in action, Steve Holland and his staff. And they looked the part. They was composed. Everything looked structured and professional. And I think the FA have needed that. You know, they needed someone like Gareth to come in and do that. And then he's getting better. Remember as well, he's still a young coach. He's improving. You know, every decision he's made so far has been spot on. I know we've talked about there's going to be people saying we're not expansive enough, we're not open enough, but we've not conceded a goal in 3 games at a tournament. The last time we've done it was 1966. So there's so much to be positive about. Now, we play this game against Germany in 3 days' time. Now, it's a one-off game. Anything can happen. As long as we don't go out there and completely capitulate, you know, say, for instance, we perform, but someone gets sent off, we lose the game 1-0. We still got to build. We still got to, you know, learn from them lessons, and the World Cup's in 18 months. So I like the continuity of it. And I believe in Gareth. You know, I wouldn't play the exact team he played, but I believe in what he's doing.
James, you think they maybe should have waited because people want to see reward for progress?
Yeah, like as Cody said, it is a strange time to come out and say that. But as Cody says, you need continuity. Like Wales have been doing it for years. I think when Speedo come in, going back to Wales, sorry guys, when Speedo come in, he just changed the whole thing. He went, right, under 16s are playing the way that the first team are going to play. Do you know what I mean? It was that sort of.
Yeah.
And then when the boys do step up and come into the first team, they've been in the system for, you know, 10 years, probably some of them, 8 years. Do you know what I mean? So I think certainly in international level, you need that sort of, as Cody said again, continuity is in, like everyone's pulling the same direction. Everyone knows the standards, what you've got to do on and off the pitch when you come into the first team.
Yeah.
And I think Gareth is bringing that. Like you said, he needs time, but it is an odd time to come out and say that.
Yeah.
It almost feels like it puts extra pressure on him going into that game. Like there isn't enough already.
Yeah. I mean, listen, and going back to Gary Speed there, like, you know, when Wales have come to what they did in 2016 and what they're doing now, you know, that ain't something that's just happened over 4 or 5 years. That's processes that have
been 15 years, Goli.
Yeah. I know, man. And you know, God rest his soul, Gary Speed. If Wales go and have another great tournament, you know, people should raise a glass to him as well.
Oh, they will. What Speedo done for football in Wales will never go unmentioned. Do you know what I mean? It was, to be honest with you, it was shambolic. Before saying that, Sparky, Mark Hughes had us, and it was we almost qualified for the World Cup 2002, I believe, or so, around that time when I was first getting into it. There was a change. And I don't want to speak bad of him, but there was a bit of a lull. John Toshak come in, and it wasn't going anywhere at all. The only thing that not the only thing, Tosh come in and he put a load of youngsters in. Do you know what I mean? Under 21s coming through. And then Speedo took over Coley, and it was different. The standards of the way we traveled, the way we ate, the way training was, the intensity in training. Yeah. In my early days, I used to turn up for Wales, and it almost used to be like a stag do. It used to be like turn up and do what you want. There was no one expects us to win that game anyway. And it was miles off. And then Speedo come in and changed the whole dynamic of it. The way we used the way we thought, the way we went into games. Like I said, the food, the training, the travel, everything just changed. And what we're doing now is all down to Speedo. He started it off.
It was like a brotherhood, James, before. Do you still see that now as well, that the squad's just as united?
100%. I spoke to Coley about it, you know, not doing podcasts or in the press. It's different. It's a different feeling. Do you know what I mean? We're a small nation, and everyone's unbelievably proud to play for your country. Of course they are, but it's something different there. Do you know what I mean? The fans back home, the togetherness of that team, 2016, and I can see it now. It just gives you something different, Coley, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean?
You don't want
to let anyone down. Sort of attitude.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the round of 16 then, guys, because some really tasty looking fixtures to look forward to. We already briefly mentioned Belgium, Portugal, but it's the defending champions against the number one ranked side in the world. James, how much are you looking forward to that one?
Yeah, all the games now. Do you know what I mean? This is when the tournament's getting juicy. This is when the big names turn up. The real football's played, if you like. And like going back to it, I think this is when England will turn up, I think.
And Ronaldo as well. What a tournament he's having so far. Top scorer in the history of the European Championships. He got those two pens against France, which now means his international goal tally is 109. So he's the joint top scorer in the history of men's international football. At 36, as you said, he's just unreal. What was he like to play against?
I've told this story many a time. Going back to 2016, semi-final. The first goal, he scored a header, Coley, that no one should ever score. There's no way anyone's getting this ball. So I'm marking Jose Font. Jose's run front stick. James Chester's got Cristiano back stick. So I've gone with the first runner, and the ball it seemed like it was 15 foot over my head.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking this ball's going out of play behind. It's going out for a throw in the far stick. I turn around and Cristiano was up there. It seemed like he was up there for about half hour. There's no way anyone should head of that ball. It was off, and this is going back to round 16, and he's still doing it again now.
Yeah,
it's just ridiculous. Seems to have this weird superpower where he can like hang in the air, doesn't he, for ages?
Yeah. Les Ferdinand
used to do it as well.
Yeah. He must have been a big fan of QPR and Newcastle growing up. Watch Les do it. No one can head it like Les.
No.
Well, Ginge, how comes? Was you doing zonal marking? How come Chester's picking up Ronaldo and you picking up Fonte? Was that just something? Because I would have thought it would have been. You pick him up.
It was. You know what it is. Corners. You've got.
Yeah.
You sort of told who you get, didn't you? And I did think in my head that I'm not saying honestly, Coley. You could have had three men on him that day. The head he scored, but it's the same in every game, isn't it? You know, you get your marking in. But
I'm looking back at now, thinking, well, I would have done it different. I'd have put you on him. At least you'd have. You'd have headed the back of his head, Ginge, at the very least, wouldn't you?
I've talking about heading the back of the heads. I've got a great story.
Go on.
We played Belgium in the was it the quarters? We played Belgium. We beat them 3-1.
Yeah,
boys have done unbelievable. Big Mario Fellaini goes up front. Chris Coleman turns to me, Ginge, you're on. I was like, all right, lovely. No warm up. Straight in. I was probably having a sandwich on the bench. Whatever. Ginge, you're on. Chris Coleman turns to me and went, Ginge, if you can't head the ball, just head him.
Good instructions.
Follow him everywhere he goes, and if you can't head it, just head him as hard as you can. So that's what I did. I did it for 5 minutes, Cody. I just running around. You watch it back. Just weren't going up for headers. Couldn't win it. Just nut in the back of his head.
Did you come through without a card?
Yeah, I used to get away with all sorts, mate.
And James, the big one on Tuesday, well, the big one for us anyway, England against Germany. What do you think? Do you think England can beat them?
As I said, I think England are simmering. I think I'd be, as an England, looking at it, if I was an England fan, I am, but as in wanting to do well, I think you don't want to be showing your best form in the groups. Do you know what I mean? It's like I said, it's simmering to, it's a huge game. Do you know what I mean? England, Germany, any time, it's a huge game. I think those boys would be up for it. I think the big players turn up in big games. And I think England will win the game. I really do.
And everyone just throwing their formations around as they do as we lead up to it. I think Gary Neville said that he wouldn't play either Foden or Grealish, but go with a back five with a wing back system to match them up. Is that what you would do as we're heading closer towards it?
Linz, I'm getting so excited. I feel like I'm like a teenager again. Like I'm literally, me and my little boy last night writing down our teams for it, what we would do and all that. I listen to Gary's team, and what I would do is I'd start with a four. I'd keep the back four where it was against the Czechs, because I thought that was solid.
Yeah, solid.
So Harry coming in, I thought that was always a question mark for me because of his injuries, not because of his quality, because we know what he can do. Then I'd play Declan, hold him, and I'd play Mason to one side, and I'd stick with Phillips because it gives you balance. And also what that allows you to do then is if you're struggling with a system, you can drop Declan in as a three centre-halves and play Phillips and Mount as the two. And then on the front, I'll play Harry down the middle.
Yeah.
I'd play Jack off the left, and I'd play Raheem off the right, obviously. So, and if I have to switch the system around, I'd go and play Raheem and Harry up top with Jack just off them and the two midfielders. So I went with a three. Because I think that's what will happen naturally in the game. Because I think two things, I think we've got to solidify at the back as in a three. Because if you've got Sane, you've got Gnabry, you know, so much quality going forward. Muller, so I think that would help. I think we'll match him up in midfield, but I also think Sterling can give Hummels all sorts of trouble because he's runs off the ball.
I was
at the game; it was amazing, and Jack just will get us up the pitch. If we don't hold on positions, Jack will be able to get the ball in tight positions, turn and drive with us, win us free kicks. And if you've got Jack Grealish winning you free kicks, and you've got Harry Maguire and John Stones attacking the ball and Harry Kane, I think we were so dangerous last tournament from set pieces. That's how I see the game going in my
head. Do you know why you're dangerous on set plays?
Go on.
Because you've got a Welshman doing them. Martin Margotson.
yes, I know. I see him at the game yesterday, and he was warming up because I was at Czech Republic, and I was gonna shout, "Marja, fat bastard!" Like, but I thought, I'm actually working for someone here on a corporate do.
Yeah. You can't shout that.
You know, I mean, he's being professional. Like, you've got to be professional, but these sort of things come in.
He was 2016, mate. Defensive and attacking set plays. He was the set play guru. Big Sam got him in at West Ham as well, didn't he?
Yeah, brilliant.
Unbelievable.
How would you leave Saka out though, guys, after the way he performed against the Czechs? And wouldn't he give you that sort of cover as well defensively that we might need against the Germans, especially with Gosens, who's been one of their best players?
Listen, Liz, it's tough to leave the kid out because he was brilliant.
Yeah, he's done so well, yeah.
But he's the first, for me, him and Foden coming off the bench as young. That's the difference makers. Like, and with Saka, you could bring him on for Luke Shaw at left wing back if you switch to that position to give you more of an attacking threat. And Phil can come on. So you always have to. You can't just pick your 11. You've got to pick your first, your second, your third subs and different if different things happen. And also, I have to throw this in there with the COVID things. Is Mason been allowed to train with a team, which is a huge thing for me? If you're preparing for the biggest game England have had since the last semi-final, and you haven't got arguably your one of your most important players to be able to train with a squad before he can play. That comes into play as well when you're selection.
If he has, it won't have been much, that's for sure. He's not allowed in the bubble, but Ed Sheeran is somehow. Wear that one out.
I think I'd rather Ed Sheeran in my bubble for sure.
Yeah, mate. My wife won't thank me for this, but I love Ed Sheeran, and he was playing at Lamps's wedding, weren't he? Lamps had him downstairs, but she got so pissed, Ginger, I had to carry her home before we come on. Like, and the gentleman I was.
But you missed it.
I missed Ed Sheeran, but she had too much champagne, and I had to carry her home.
I'm parking her up in a cab, mate, going back. Oh,
listen. No thanks for it either. I'm a gentleman.
I can imagine.
James, it's time for What Really Happened, and this is where we pick a moment from your career that we want to know more about. Ooh. So we're going to take you back to Euro 2016 and that video that went viral of you and the Welsh players celebrating rather exuberantly, shall we say, a bit hysterically, when Iceland knocked England out. What was that all about?
Do you know what, Linz? There was no malice in it. It was, I think... We've always felt as a nation, as in country football wise, we were sort of underlooked, and we had made it further in the tournament than England. There was nothing in it than that. You know what I mean? A group of lads. It was probably, looking back, it was probably too much, but it was just the joy of getting further than England. And obviously we had him in the group that year as well. I remember obviously they scored last minute. There was a few shouts in the tunnel that, looking back, probably weren't great. Do you know what I mean? As in to us as a group of players, and yeah, just loved it. To be honest, it was. I got a lot of stick. Matty Everton in one was particularly angry with me, but it was just that we had made it further than England. Do you know what I mean? Little old Wales, us boys that had come together and made it further than England. That's all it was.
And Joel. Yeah. England could still face Wales in a semi-final at Euro 2020. What a prospect that is.
Imagine that, Coley.
What a prospect that would be. Let me tell you, I would not want to be a Welshman living in Essex, especially as volatile as I know young James Collins is as well.
Yeah, no.
Oh, imagine that in Boozer.
In my younger days, Coley. I'm chilled out now.
Right, James, it's time to get some Euro 2020 predictions from you before we go. We're going to start with Belgium against Portugal, kicking off 8 o'clock on Sunday. What's the score going to be?
3-1 Belgium. Strongly believe that they're going to be strong, Belgium.
Yeah, I think it'll be 1-1, and I think Belgium will win in extra time or penalties. Can I call that one? It's a 90-minute result, yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. You can give that one, yeah. We'll take that.
Yeah.
Just can't wait to see Lukaku and Ronaldo going for that golden boot on the same pitch. And let's move on to Monday, 5 o'clock. It's the last 16 clash between Croatia and Spain. What do you reckon, James?
Oh, I would go 2-0 Spain. I think they're simmering along nicely as well, them boys.
Yeah, I'm with you. 2-0. I'll go 1-0 to keep it different, but I think Spain win that game, and I think it's quite a comfortable 1-0.
Comfortable game, yeah.
With about 85% possession.
Yeah. Why not? They're a good team to watch.
And of course, every match matters with Coral, and none more than this one. It's the big one. What's your prediction for England against Germany kicking off Tuesday, 5 o'clock at Wembley Stadium?
Can I let Coley go first on this one, please? I'd like to see what he's going to say on this.
Right, okay. Right. I'm going to pitch him up. First of all, I'm predicting I get a ticket. So I'm predicting someone out there gives me one. I'll be there.
Surely a man of your calibre can get tickets, Coley, for that game.
We'll make an appeal now.
Put it out there. Put it out there. I think it's going to be... I think Germany will score. I think because of the quality they got on the pitch.
The quality, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to be 2-1 England, and it's going to be extra time.
Oh.
Extra time.
Don't do that to the people, Coley.
Harry Kane goes down the side, squares it for Raheem Sterling to tap it in echoes of Gazza 96, where he just missed it by a toe.
Yeah,
but Raheem will get there, tap it in, and Wembley will go wild. the country will erupt, summer will start again, and there's going to be beer. It's going to be beer everywhere. It's going to be great.
That is fine detail, that, Coley.
Listen, you've got to visualise, Ginge. Did you never do that as a player?
But Coley's built it up that much. I'll go 2-1 Germany.
I was going to say. So while Joe wakes himself up, James, you're going 2-0 Germany.
2-1. 2-1.
Oh, 2-1, okay. Yeah, yeah. Who do you think is going to get the goals?
I'd love. You know what? I'll take it back. 2-1 England. I'll go.
I
don't want any of that. Oh, I don't want England to win because I really do. Do you know what I mean? I love them to go and see. If Wales don't go and win it, I'd support in England as far as they can go. So yeah, I'll
likewise,
go 2-1.
Mate. Let's stick together.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. There's no divide. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's all the talk that Wales players or Wales fans don't want England to win. They do. Do you know what I mean? If Wales get knocked out, we want to go and see England win it. Do you know what I mean? So Harry Kane needs to turn up. I think he's obviously, it's been well documented that he's struggled a little bit. I think big games, big players turn up, and I'm expecting a big game from Harry on Tuesday night.
I reckon 2-2 after extra time, and then they're going to knock us out on penalties.
Oh, what is it?
Linz?
So much.
Linz?
Straight away.
That's just lowering the tone.
I've built
up the listeners. I'm just now, and they're like...
Glass half empty.
They're people who own Linz, right, and they listen to me, and they're doing whatever they're doing. They're exercising, they're doing the cooking, they're cleaning, whatever. They're in the garden. They're like, that's it. We're ready now. They're fired up for it. You just brought it down, Linz, all right?
I hope you're right.
They were going for a Stella out of the fridge, and now it's like,
they're already chucking the plastic pints of beer up in the air. Hopefully. Well, Cristiano Ronaldo, 13-2 to score 2 goals or more against Belgium. With Coral, you can back Spain to beat Croatia 3-0, and Coral will give you odds of 14-1 for that. And then for England, Germany, if you think it'll be 1-1 after extra time and England will win on penalties, Coral will give you odds of 25-1. I don't think I could take a penalty shootout. I just don't want it to happen. James, thank you so much for coming on.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me, guys.
Great, Ginger. Listen, I've got a game from our Sunday team next Sunday.
Do you
fancy it? And we'll go to the pub after.
No problem, mate. Can I meet you at the pub?
You can do, mate. Listen, keep a clean sheet. There's a pint of Guinness as a bonus.
Not a problem, mate. You know me. Stick me in front of anyone. I'll keep a clean sheet.
And good luck to Wales. We've got no sour grapes over that video.
There was no malice there. I promise you guys.
No. Good luck to you. And thank you, James. Remember, you can find us on Wednesday as well after that England-Germany game. We'll have all the reaction and analysis on the Joe YouTube channel or wherever you find your podcasts. I might have a bad head. We'll either be drowning our sorrows or celebrating wildly if Joe is right. Let's hope so. You've been listening to the All to Play For podcast brought to you by Joe and Coral.
You've been listening to All to Play For, brought to you by Joe and Coral.